Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
The Denver Broncos dropped to 0-3 after a 28-10 loss at home at Power Field at Mile High. Broncos offense struggles. This is your Locked On Broncos postgame report. I'm Cody Rourke, your host, as always, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Today's postgame report is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, your coffee spots, your favorite shops, or local businesses have always been there on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. And I'm joined today by Zach Seegers of Broncos Pro Football Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Zach_Seegers. Zach, today on the episode of the show, we're going to go through our postgame report here for Broncos fans. We're going to talk about just some of the gleaming issues with this Broncos team in general. Not so competitive in Sunday's loss. We're going to talk about some of the highlights, but obviously the biggest takeaway from the Broncos so far at this early part of the season. Plus, we're going to get into the short turnaround. The Broncos don't have much time to, you know, go through and process this game and then have to prepare for the New York Jets. There's a Thursday night football game. So we're going to process and we're going to digest everything on today's Lockdown Broncos post game report. Zach, how you doing today, my man?
Man, not well. This Broncos team, it's tough. I think it's harder than a lot of the last few years because there's finally reason to be excited. And it's just getting robbed from us with all these injuries. You know, I think it's important to reflect on the 2018 San Francisco 49ers that went 2-14 at this time. Team that was just wrecked by injuries and things didn't go as planned, but they stayed patient and things paid off well for him in 2019.
Well, today, you know, for the Broncos, dropping to 0-3 is not ideal, you know, especially for Vic Fangio. I don't think anybody had envisioned this type of start for this Broncos team. None of us in the media. I don't think fans had envisioned it, though. I do feel like sometimes fans' expectations were widely unrealistic. I think there's a lot of people, based on some of the replies I'm getting, that expected this to be a 3-0 football team at this point. It was a tough slate to start. And I've seen the Broncos in the first 2 weeks competitive enough to stay in those games when I think Tennessee and Pittsburgh should have blown them out given the circumstances of some of the way that the ball had fell a little bit them. Obviously, injuries have impacted this team. But look, there's no excuses. The injuries cannot be an excuse for far too long. It is the reality of this football team. You're missing several key players. But the players that are there on the football field have to step up. And what we saw, really, the Broncos play strong defense the first 2 weeks. We really saw them kind of struggle against this Buccaneers team, and they just really couldn't get off the field on third down. Tampa Bay controlled the time of possession. Once again, 33 minutes in comparison to Denver's 26. And then when you take a look at overall third down efficiency, they were 8 of 16. Now, that stat in the first half was actually very, very sharp. It was 6 of 9 in the first half for Tampa Bay. So they were having a very, very efficient first half. The Broncos defense tightened up in half number two. But still, I think the biggest storyline for this Broncos team here, Zach, the offense. And look, the offensive line is struggling. Quarterback play is struggling. The offense in general is struggling to get the ball moving downfield. We saw them generate some success by going up tempo. And I really want to ask you this question before we get into the whole Jeff Driskel talk, because Jeff Driskel absolutely struggled big time here. But is there a valid argument? Can we make the argument here on this podcast that is the Broncos' real issue on the offensive side of the ball linked to the fact that they've stayed in the same scheme for the last 5 years since Peyton Manning? I mean, this is a very similar scheme. Not much has changed. Similar formations, similar play concepts and designs. And I just don't feel like it's just fitting the talent that this football team has. We know they're a young offense in general, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you've got this kind of weird Frankenstein's monster on offense, you know, where you've got Fant or you just got all these different pieces from different eras. You've got some of the Kubiak holdover and you've got some of the Scangarello leftovers. You've got some of the Bill Musgrave leftovers and you've got some of the Pat Shurmur leftovers. And I think we haven't seen a guy able to fully implement a scheme, and he has to carry over stuff from the past OCs because it's just been an area of constant flux. I think you've got to give Pat Shurmur and this coaching staff a few years of stability to help these guys develop so they're not having to learn a new playbook every year. And I think that's more true than ever after this past offseason, when guys had a handful of practices, not even like a full month of practices, to really get this stuff down. And so you're going to have to operate with a limited playbook. And it just kind of creates this Frankenstein's monster that, to your point, they're not utilizing their talent in the best way possible. I know you've harped on it before, and I think it's a good point where, why is Noah Fant being used as a blocker often? Of course, it's going to happen occasionally. He's a tight end, not a wide receiver. But he should be used far more often as a primary receiving threat than a blocker or a guy that's having to chip an edge rusher before he can go out in his route. That's not where he's doing damage for you or helping the offense. He'll help your offense once he's out in his route. So I just think they just needed, I don't know, it's so tough with how many pieces they're down and everything to figure out how to make this thing work. But when you see the talent from, even with how beat up they are, from Melvin Gordon to Noah Fant to Jerry Jeudy to KJ Hamler, all these guys are flashing and have talent. And you can't put up 10 points against, yes, it's a good Buccaneers defense. Yes, you have Jeff Driscoll. Got to do better than 10 points, though.
You have to. And look, the Broncos didn't get off to a great start here because they go to punt the football away. There's a penalty, there's a block, and then Tampa Bay starts off with inside the own 10. And the Broncos defense, their backs are, you know, against their own end zone from the onset there. And then, you give up a score there. It's a little bit of a difference maker there. I'd say for the most part, too, the Broncos just defense in the first half, at least, they didn't look like they were playing very inspired football. And not sure if it was because of the offensive product on the field. Jeff Driscoll, the issue once again, continuing to hold onto the football way too long, not throwing it away. That was the thing that really stood out to me. And you know, you can attribute that to offensive line play, but you can also attribute that to quarterback play. I think it's a combination of the two. And we're going to get into a little bit more of a deep dive as to the players that are struggling, the players that, you know, are succeeding, or the players that are being, you know, critiqued a little bit unfairly. I will get that a little bit later. But, you know, the offense was the biggest issue in this game. The defense made some big mistakes in the second quarter, but they were able to rebound in that second half there overall. You have a one-on-one situation. You have Justin Simmons, who arguably is one of your better defensive players. You have in a one-on-one situation against Mike Evans. Now, I get it. Justin Simmons' athleticism, his vertical leap is tremendous. I just don't know in that situation. I want to put Simmons in a one-on-one against a guy like Mike Evans. That is Mike Evans' bread and butter. Regardless of who you play, I don't know how you really scheme against it. But Simmons obviously slipped up on the play and wasn't in position, at least to a touchdown. Broncos found themselves down really, really early in this game. It was very gleam, but they found a little bit of hope towards the end of the first half. They went up tempo, Zach, and Jeff Driscoll was starting to get in a rhythm a little bit. Found Tim Patrick on a big third and 20. Tim Patrick stepped up today, in my opinion. And then he has the touchdown catch right before half. But the Broncos after that, they couldn't do anything offensively.
Yeah, that was killer. It looked like they finally might have found a spark of life there at the end of half, and they really didn't find it again until the end of the second half. So I think, circling back to your point about having an up-tempo offense, I think that's big. I totally agree with you. The offense was the big problem here. Defense made some mistakes, and I think the few mistakes the defense did make were uncharacteristic of a Vic Fangio defense. You look at Vic Fangio through the years, what has he always done well? He's always been great on third downs, great red zone defense. Broncos, one of the best, I think actually maybe the best red zone defense in the league last year. It's something Vic Fangio always does well. In this one, in the first half, you saw the Bucs get three red zone possessions, three touchdowns out of them. And I think that really was the story of this game against the Steelers and against the Titans. They were getting some of those stops and they were forcing some field goals. And of course, in the Titans game, we saw those result in missed field goals. And that's going to happen sometime. We saw a blocked extra point in this one. You know, that if you force them to kick, they're going to just mess some of those up and come away without getting points. And the Broncos allowed them to score touchdowns on every single one of those opportunities. And it's hard when they've got personnel like Mike Evans and like Leonard Fournette and Tom Brady, guys that thrive in the red zone, but that's a killer. And then again, on third downs, they struggled there too. There was a stretch in the game where they allowed six straight third down conversions. That's backbreaking. So yeah, I think those critical moments need to be cleared up on defense, but there is a heck of a lot more work that needs to be done on the offensive side of the ball.
Offense, defense, special teams. This Broncos team has a lot of things that they need to shore up before they can get to a point where I think people are taking them serious. This is a young football team. I'm not on board with the whole tanking talk that, you know, you see from a lot of Broncos fans. I think this team is where they're at. And, you know, all things considered, they have a choice to either stay where they're at or they have a choice to improve. But Broncos country, we're going to get to some of our takeaways here in just a moment about some of the players who stood out, some of the players who need to step up a little bit more. We're going to get that a little bit deeper coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos Postgame Report. Our good friends over there, CBD, MD. And after a Broncos loss, and even after surgery, I myself could benefit from CBD, MD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours in an uncomfortable office chair. Everybody needs support to make it through the day. And luckily, our friends over there at CBD, MD, have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support that you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBD MD has to offer, they're offering our listeners a Lockdown Broncos 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Getting back into our discussion on today's Lockdown Broncos postgame report, Broncos dropped to 0-3 on the season after a rough performance all across the board against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, losing 28-10 at home in Power Field at Mile High. Zach, you know, one of the things I think I have some frustration on just watching the broadcast, seeing that many Tampa Bay jerseys in the crowd. I mean, considering that the audience limit was about 5,700, the fact that there were some season ticket members in Denver that sold their tickets to Bucs fans, that's just something that doesn't sit well with me. I don't know if it's because the Broncos, they're 0-3, they're 0-2 coming into this game. Look, I think that people need to be more realistic with this Broncos football team. I'm not making excuses for them, but if you were to sit here and say that they were going to be 2-1, they were going to be 3-0 after 3 weeks, this is a tough five-game slate for this Broncos team to open up with, all circumstances considered. That was even before any of the injuries had happened. There's some obvious things we need to analyze because I think there's a lot of talk right now in Broncos country, Zach, about the quarterback position. What do the Broncos do? They go with Jeff Driskel against the New York Jets on Thursday night, or do they go with Brett Rypien? Because Brett Rypien came into the game. He was 7-for-7 at one point. Then he threw an interception on fourth down, really trying to get it into the end zone. There was an evident difference, and Vic Fangio mentioned in his postgame press conference, he put Rypien into the game to see if he could get the ball out quicker than Driskel was. And that was the case because there were so many times Jeff Driskel was holding on the ball way too long. And against a defense that sends five at you, they twist stun on the interior. They got pass rushers like Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett. We'll get to that in a little bit because that's another takeaway discussion we're going to have on today's show. I just felt like that Brett Rypien actually went through his progressions from right side to left side, first read to second read. And then if those reads were covered, he went to the third read. I was impressed with his decision-making. And it's just another storyline. 3 weeks, three quarterbacks for this Broncos football team.
He definitely looked more comfortable than Driskel at the very least. Driskel, and I think you saw this against the Steelers too, just looked scared. You could see it in his eyes. He just, whenever there was like a sideline camera angle where you could see him, he looked dejected and not confident. And I think it's kind of the inverse of what happened when the Broncos got Drew Lock. And it applies to a lot of different areas. You know, when Drew Lock entered the offense, it wasn't like he was putting up gaudy numbers and killing the game with how advanced he was and how developed he was. People fell in love with him. Broncos country fell in love with him and believed in him because he had moxie. He had a clear confidence. He had a clear ability to command a game. And that's something that Rypien has and Driskel doesn't. And I also think we saw the pass rush be so brutal tonight. Well, like you said, we'll get into that later. But because you're going from Locke, one of the quarterbacks that since entering the league, he's been one of the hardest quarterbacks to sack. That's just the stats back that up, to Jeff Driskel, who throughout his whole career has been one of the easier quarterbacks to sack. So that's going to make that offensive line look a heck of a lot worse. And especially when you're going against a Todd Bowles a defense that is going to pressure you in all sorts of creative ways. And it's just going to be a constant pressure onslaught. And now you've got Antoine Winfield Jr. in the back end of that defense.
Ball stud, hawking, by the way.
Stud. Total stud. Looks like one of the best rookies of his class. Ball hawking and making big plays. It's really tough for Driskel, but he never looked comfortable. It wasn't like things went bad early and he looked down. He just, for the whole first half, the only thing the Broncos could get going was Driskel's scrambles. I mean, five of their first seven drives go for less than 20 yards. That's unacceptable against Tom Brady and this talented Buccaneer offense. Driscoll like isn't going to help you at this point. So maybe throw in Rippon and maybe Rippon helps you. But or throw in Bortles. Maybe Bortles helps you. I don't know. At this point, Driscoll would be my third quarterback on that depth chart. And once Locke comes back, he'd be my fourth.
It's some tough decisions, you know, and I think we really have to analyze the angle here because we're going to get some fan takeaways. Somebody had told me on Twitter, they said, nothing matters until Locke comes back, which to a degree, I agree. But also at the same time, I just don't know if Drew Locke can stay upright with constant pressure like this. I mean, it was something we saw against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh sent four, they sent five, and Locke had an issue with it early on in the Pittsburgh game. And obviously a couple missed assignments, blocking assignments, and also pressure led to the injury there. But I don't know if Locke's going to have the ample time to be able to run this offense. I don't think this is an offense that's predicated off of a three-step drop, a five-step drop, having 3 to 4 seconds in the pocket to throw. I think it's got to be a quick passing offense. I mean, look, for example, at the Seattle Seahawks offense with a mobile quarterback like Russell Wilson. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. Look at these mobile offenses, that mobile quarterbacks. They're not forcing them to stay inside the pocket. They're literally trying to get the ball to their hands quickly, and they're scheming them up. I just don't know if the Broncos are at that point just yet. Will Drew Locke make a difference? I don't know how much of a big difference it'll make if he's getting all this types of pressure. But I think it could be a growing sense there. I mean, you know, who you roll with on Thursday, it's going to be a big question. We're going to find out this week. But I would agree with you at this point. You know, I don't think that Jeff Driscoll is that guy. I like Jeff Driscoll as a human being. He's a great guy. But in terms of football, he just looks scared out there. And, you know, when you see ghosts and you're second guessing your reads, you're not going through the proper progressions, it's going to lead to some of those things. And obviously, you know, getting sacked multiple times and giving up a safety and not knowing when to just throw the football away. Those are things that come back to haunt you, Zach. And so one of the takeaways I want to get into real quickly here before we get into what's next for this Broncos team on a short week of preparation. Luckily, they came out of this game relatively injury free. The only one was, I believe it was Kalitro that left with a hamstring injury. That's it. So good news on the injury front of things for the Broncos. But outside of that, let's talk about defense. There's an argument right now. Shaq Barrett, Bradley Chubb. Shaq Barrett had a phenomenal game. I think he's in a great system. I think that they have a lot of playmakers around him that makes his job a lot easier to get after the quarterback. Whereas I look at Bradley Chubb's situation coming off of ACL, considering that there's no real significant strong pass rusher opposite of him, I don't understand. You're going to see it all week long. You're going to see that the Broncos should have taken Josh Allen. You're going to see that take. You're going to see the take where they should have kept Shaq Barrett. You can make the argument for both, but I think when you look at the situation, I think that Shaq Barrett is in a much more fruitful situation than Bradley Chubb is right now with the Broncos.
Absolutely. And there's 31 teams that should have taken Tom Brady in the first round of that draft. You know, we can do this with every draft class ever with the power of hindsight. It wasn't a bad decision at the time. You know, Josh Allen, most people, and you've seen tons of media members come forward and go, hey, wow, we were wrong on this. Another thing, Josh Allen has had coaching stability. And a really good coaching staff that has been stable. And he's also
Sean McDermott.
Is it
fantastic? Look at the struggle. Look at the struggle that Sean McDermott and the Bills have gone through. Look at the growth. And look, the Bills fans are not the most patient, but they've been patient to understand the process of a rebuild, which Buffalo did. Denver is in that right now.
And look at that patience being rewarded. And also, Broncos have, they're building it up from the ground up. Josh Allen goes into that offense. They built it, but they built it in a different way. They added a veteran in John Brown, who last year led the league in receiving. He was a veteran. He didn't have to come in like Jerry Jeudy as a rookie and learn how to play in the NFL. They added Cole Beasley, who had long been one of the better slot receivers in the NFL. Now they trade for Stephon Diggs, who I think anyone would say is a top 10, maybe a top 5 receiver in the league. So it's just such a different situation from the coaching to the offensive line that Josh Allen's had in front of him to just everything. And Bradley Chubb was a great prospect coming out. People forget the Browns were heavily criticized for not taking Bradley Chubb fourth overall and taking Denzel Ward instead. He was viewed as a very special pass rushing prospect, and we saw that in his first year. In year two, he was better than Von Miller through four games. And then he tore his ACL, and he's still coming back from it. And like you said, he's in a brutal situation. I think another part of the pass rushing difference between Barrett and Chubb, like you said, is situation and their play callers. And not to say that Vic Fangio is a worse play caller than Todd Bowles, but Vic Fangio is a much more hamstrung play caller right now than Todd Bowles because he can't do all these crazy creative blitzes. One, he doesn't have a guy like Antoine Winfield necessarily, but even if he did, you need those guys. You need Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons to be playing too high the entire game because you've got a day two rookie starting and an undrafted rookie starting, and then Bryce Callahan. And Bryce Callahan's been great, but you're just so limited with what you can do with your linebackers and what you can do with your safeties and what you can do with those cornerbacks to create extra pressure because you can't afford to take those guys out of coverage.
You really can't. And as you said, I think your hands are tied. You know, Vic Fangio dealing with a young team. This is part of the rebuild. This is what the Broncos signed up for. Broncos fans are going to have to embrace it. That's just the reality of the situation. As unnecessary and as unfortunate as it may feel because of the high expectations of Broncos country, this is the cards that the Broncos have been dealt, and they got to deal with it. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we talk about what's next. How do the Broncos transition from this loss to now focusing on the New York Jets game Thursday night? Short week turnaround. You have a road game on Thursday Night Football. But before we do that, I got to tell you about the other sponsors of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos post-game report. That's our good friends over there, Built Bar and sportsbetting.com. Now with Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They are back. They're better than ever, and they're more delicious than ever before. Featuring 18 amazing flavors, six of them being new, like cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, and even some of the old reliables like double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, toffee almond, and coconut. They are delicious, and they are an easy go-to if you need something to pick you up if you're struggling with the day. If you didn't eat breakfast, Built Bar is the perfect alternative for you there because the bars, they are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and the bars are healthy, which is the most important aspect for me. I love delicious treats, but I love being healthy as well. Built Bar is great for those who are health conscious, and it helps you lose or maintain weight while allowing you to indulge in a very delicious treat because the bars, they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they're great for any kind of diet that you may be on. So check it out today at BuiltBar.com, and you'll get a free cooler with purchase only while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And sportsbetting.com is now live and taking action in Colorado. Sportsbetting.com is passionate about sports and the authority on sports betting. With their own in-house bookmakers, sportsbetting.com is known for their sharp odds and low juice, which means the best prices for you. New players get a welcome bonus, a 100% risk-free week of sports betting, up to $500. Sportsbetting.com offers no-hassle bonuses with just a one-time playthrough. So take advantage of their NFL touchdown and NBA playoff MVP promotions with can't-lose offers on first touchdown and triple-double scores. Get your action on at the home of sports betting. That's sportsbetting.com/LockedOnBroncos. Okay, Zach, short turnaround here for this Broncos team this week. They're sitting at 0-3. They have a chance this week to go 1-3. There are some evident issues that need to be addressed. I know in our takeaways, we didn't get to really address the standout performances from the Broncos, you know, loss 28-10 to the Buccaneers. A special shout out to Shelby Harris. So Shelby Harris has looked like the best Broncos defensive player so far this season. He came away with two sacks, more passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. Constant pressure there. He's looked good. Michael Ojemudia looked good, had a bounce back game, in my opinion, against a very talented wide receiving unit with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I thought he really responded well. He came up and he tackled. There's just some evident issues that the Broncos have to address. But outside of those guys, they need a lot more from Kareem Jackson, need a lot more from Justin Simmons. They need a lot more from other Broncos defensive players. But outside of that, you can't dwell on what went wrong. You have to go back on the tape, analyze what went wrong. And I think obviously in coverage, the Broncos played a lot of man, and there were a lot of pick route concepts that Tampa Bay ran with vertical routes and then underneath routes from the number one guy and the number two. You have to find a way to play tighter coverage, in my opinion, on third down and short, second and short, because then it does lead to those open opportunities. For you, this is a struggling New York Jets team that looks very, very abysmal. They're not having a very good season as well in terms of running the football. They're not having a good season in terms of a quarterback with Sam Darnold and Adam Gase's system. What is it that the Broncos need to do in this short week that you believe that could lead them to get their first victory on the season?
Man, they need to do a lot. But number one, I think you got to shut down the Jets offense. The Broncos offense is a total question mark right now with what's going on at quarterback. You know, Bucs defense is good, but man, it was rough out there today. I think you're hoping you put up 20 on the Jets. So if that's the number, you got to make sure your defense holds that offense under 20. If they lose to the Jets, that's when I'll start getting concerned. Like you said, this opening slate is brutal through three games. Like, let's tap the brakes on the panic button until we see this Jets game. I just think make Sam Darnold uncomfortable, and that should be pretty easy. You got to create pressure. We saw some of that from the defensive line today. The edge rushers have not been doing enough for the Broncos. They needed that interior pressure to step up, and it finally did so today. Saw Jarrell Casey get a hit on the quarterback. Shelby Harris, like you said, had a great game. And I want to see McTelvin Ejim get more involved. But again, I just think making Darnold uncomfortable, making him see ghosts. And Bill Belichick was able to do that last year. Well, Vic Fangio is right up there with Bill Belichick. And I think we're going to see that is something I do feel confident about going into this matchup. That makes me think the Broncos can win this game. They might not be able to get many points, but if anyone can take advantage of a Jets defense that looks as bad, or sorry, Jets offense that looks as bad as any offense in the league right now, their offense looks worse than the Broncos, because not only do they have the question mark at quarterback, the offensive line, they have it at running back and throughout their entire receiving core. So I think that Vic Fangio ability to scheme something up and confuse Sam Darnold and take advantage of how beat up and weak this Jets offense is, that's what gives me confidence about the Broncos heading into week four.
You mentioned it. This is a beat-up Jets team. Look, it's a beat-up Broncos team. It's a beat-up NFL. The New York Jets, though, I think are really depleted at wide receiver right now. Denzel Mims dealing with injuries. They lost Jamison Crowder for a little bit. Who knows what the injury status is going to be. They lost more players as well on Sunday. But yeah, I think for this Broncos team, you got to shake it off. Look, it's a battle right now of two very, very undisciplined offenses between the Jets and the Broncos. You're going to have to make your hay on defense. And as cliche as it may be, look, I think the Broncos need to start challenging themselves. We had the privilege of doing that 2015 season review this summer, going back and watching every game. There were moments in every game in that 2015 season where this Broncos defense, where that Broncos defense, literally challenged themselves to put points up defensively. They got to find a way to do that. And there has not really been an emphasis so far from this Broncos team of generating those takeaways. I mean, there hasn't been an emphasis on that. It hasn't happened, and they're going to have to be more creative. But as you mentioned earlier, I think Vic Fangio's hands are tied behind his back, considering the personnel that he has. He doesn't have the luxury like Pittsburgh does. He didn't have the luxury like Tampa Bay does of setting the house, because they've got the coverage guys. They've got the linebackers. They've got the defensive line to do it. The Broncos don't. They're lacking at some deficiencies at some of those positions, to where I just don't think they have the ability to do just that.
It's going to be a problem against the Jets. I just think, you got to scheme it. You got to scheme it up, and you got to rely on your talent. You're a more talented team than the Jets. Yes, you're beat up, but you've got just so much more talent. They're trotting out Braxton Berrios and I'm forgetting the guy's name, the guy who was a wide receiver for the Patriots and then the Bills, and the Jets signed him off the street last week and he immediately started for them. They just have no talent. Christopher Herndon is the only player on that offense outside of Sam Darnold who, maybe would be getting on the field for the Broncos. I just think, yes, the Broncos are beat up. Yes, the Jets are beat up. Yes, the Broncos have an awful quarterback situation right now. It's a little reminiscent of the Steelers last season with Duck Hodges and
Mason Rudolph.
Exactly. It's horrible. But at the end of the day, you're just a much more talented roster and a much better coached team. I know there's people that are beating up on Vic Fangio, and that's ridiculous in its own right, in this coaching staff. But say whatever you will about Vic Fangio, I don't think anyone thinks he's as bad as Adam Gase and that this coaching staff is as bad as the Jets coaching staff. So when you have a sizable talent advantage like that, and you have a sizable coaching advantage like that, I don't care if you're having to go on the road on a short week and you're beaten up. You should win this game. And if you don't win this game, there's a really good chance you're starting the season 0-8, because this is the lone cupcake they have until Drew Lock's back. So I think this is the biggest must win of any Broncos game, because you just can't excuse a loss here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. There's a lot of pressure on this Broncos team. And look, I think losing to the Jets would warrant a little bit of Broncos fans necessarily pressing that panic button, all things considered, because it doesn't get easy against New England. It doesn't get easy against Miami, who we've seen compete with some of the top teams. I mean, we saw them really compete with Buffalo, and Buffalo pulled out that crazy comeback victory, despite the fact they gave up a big lead that they had That's another story for another day. And then you have the Kansas City Chiefs, then you have the bye week. It doesn't get any easier even after the bye week. So this is a Broncos team that's going to have to fight through some of the SHIT that they're going to be dealing with right here. And ultimately, it's going to be a big test to see how these players respond, these young teams. You can't make excuses anymore. I mean, this is a football team that's got to step up to the plate. I do think that a lot of fans confuse the Broncos' struggles and lack of execution as a means to, say, fire the coaches. But I do want to warn Broncos country one thing. Be careful what you wish for. You may think that firing Vic Fangio, firing Pat Shurmur is the best bet for this Broncos team, but if that were to happen, the reality is not much prettier for this Broncos team. It's another 2 to 3 year setback at that point. They're going through a rebuild. Year two of a rebuild. You got to embrace it. You got to understand that this is the reality of this Broncos team, despite the fact that the expectations for the organization are always high. This is the reality for this football team in 2020. They're not going to be a winning football team this season, but they have a chance to build for tomorrow.
The ship's sinking. Don't get mad at the guys bailing water out. You know, like the problem isn't the guys scooping the water out of the ship as it's going under. It's the giant hole that's letting all the water in. You know, they're down their best offensive player, best defensive player, starting quarterback, best cornerback. Tell me a coach that, or how many head coaches are there in the league? 5 or 6, like the Belichicks of the world, that could scheme up a game plan to keep their team afloat in that circumstance. It's ridiculous to take this coaching staff to task like they've been taken to task.
Yeah, it's very hard. But Broncos country, look, I get the frustration. We understand that. But also, like I said, have tempered expectations, have realistic expectations with this football team. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to try to bring a sense of reality to everybody, to see it from both sides, the good, the bad, the ugly, and also bring it from a football operations standpoint. So, hey, hang in there, Broncos country. In the meantime, send us some questions for Twitter Tuesday tomorrow. We're going to answer your Broncos questions. Short week, Thursday Night Football. We'll have a crossover show this week as well on Thursday with John Butch, co-host of Locked On Jets, plus your post-game report as well for Friday with Zach Seegers and Patrick Coyote. But that'll do it for today's episode of the show, folks. I'm Cody Rourke, your host as always. Speaking from my good friend Zach Seegers, we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show.